Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
This is a portrait, a love letter, and a natural history of the Upper San Ynez River in the Los Padres National Forest.
This week, we're going to get a sneak preview of the upcoming Slow Film Festival.
Not only is Maui an amazingly sun-kissed, heart-throbbing destination, but it's full of intrigue.
We'll sample the romance of the island of Maui, and we'll enjoy aesthetics and techniques on another edition of Ears on Art. First, let's go to the movies.
My name is Jim D. I'm sitting in today to interview the festival director of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, Wendy Edson. Welcome.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
And we have a film festival coming up. The dates for this year's San Luis Obispo International Film Festival coming up very soon are March 6th through the 10th. And in talking with Wendy before going on the air for this interview, and we don't have too much time to talk about a lot of movies and focusing on just a few with clips, a really great eclectic mix this year. Wendy, go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, I'm really excited about the festival, as I always am. But, you know, every year is completely different than the previous year because we never really know what movies are going to be submitted to our film competition, which is really makes up the bulk of the film festival. So that's always a sort of surprise. And films arrive, it's sort of like, Christmas or something. And we really never know what we're going to get. Well, we got a lot of great films this year. And a lot of variety. We have some really wonderful extreme sports films that we're putting all together at the Avila Beach Community Center this year as our sports and shorts venue. So we'll have sports films there as well as several short film series. And so there's films like Kayaking the Congo River, Bicycling in Rwanda, Bicycle Racing, I should say. There's a movie called The Invisible String about the invention of the Frisbee and the whole history and culture behind Frisbee throwing. And then there's everything into political films, social issues, ballroom dancing, book clubs. These are just the documentaries, by the way. And then there's, a whole bunch of wonderful narrative features, some really nice little romantic comedies, a couple of adventure films, and everything into short films, which are kind of my favorites, actually. Just a whole variety there, too.
Well, what you do, Wendy, what I always love about the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival is those team-ups. You have a feature and then a short that might be a nice companion piece, and you've done incredible programming with that in past festivals. Yeah. I'm going to keep repeating these dates because what I think you have to understand about the San Luis Obispo Film Festival, March 6th through 10th, it's only 5 days. There's a lot crammed into those 5 days, and of course the best way to take in the film festival is get one of those passes where you can go to a number of screenings. Trust me, you will see some incredible films. You'll discover films that you didn't know existed and perhaps gems that you may not see any other place. Who knows?
That's so true. And the big plus of a film festival is that you get to meet the filmmakers. And these are incredible people coming from all over the world. And, I always tell people to make a film is next to impossible. To make a good film is virtually impossible. But these people that are coming to our festival to San Luis Obispo County have done it. They've succeeded and they really should be worshipped. They're creative, intelligent people who have managed to wrangle together hundreds of people to create this this film, and that's not easy to do. And so I think one thing that is hard to describe, but as soon as you've experienced it, to be there for a Q&A after a film that you've really enjoyed, and suddenly the person who made it gets up and talks about it, and you can ask them whatever you want. You can even ask them to go and have a drink with you after the movie. I mean, that's what the film festival is all about.
The ultimate way to experience a movie, I would say, beyond going out and seeing a movie, maybe going out afterwards and talking about it, but getting together with the filmmakers, it makes it extra special. Wendy, are there any returning film filmmakers who have been at past San Luis Obispo film festivals.
Yeah, actually, Bitter 70 this year is a movie that Beth and George Gage are coming back from Telluride. It's where they live, and this is their third time to our festival, and they keep bringing back great documentaries. So they'll be here. And yeah, I think there's a few people that have made shorts that are coming back as well. We showed one last year called A Doctor's Job by Julio Ramos, fresh out of UCLA, and he's coming back with another really wonderful short from Peru.
Well, let's focus on a few of the films that where we can give our listeners a little bit of audio on things that are coming up. And first, we've put together our two films with California the focus, but the subject matter is completely different. One is political, and one seems to be a love letter to the natural beauty of the state. Now, the first film that we do have a clip from, and I was fascinated by watching at least part of this, California State of Mind, and it's all about Pat Brown, a former governor. And what I found really fascinating about this film, Wendy, is there's a lot of political junkies out there. And this is one of those films with Walter Cronkite from the 60s and all this great, great footage and putting together not only history of California, but the focus on Pat Brown. I was getting drawn into this just getting the clip that we're going to listen to here in just a moment.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And then to have Jerry Brown, the governor, again, and you know, the Brown family have been a very important part of California's history and culture. And we're excited to have his granddaughter, who made this film, Sasha Rice, will be here at the festival to talk about the film. So it's going to be fun to have her here.
Well, let's listen to a clip from California State of Mind. And what I found interesting about this particular section of the film was Pat Brown's dedication towards education in California. This mm-hmm. goes back to the late 50s and 60s, and I know we're kind of not doing too well, but at least he seemed to have a vision about education in California. This is from a film from the upcoming San Luis Obispo International Film Festival called California State of Mind.
The higher educational system was in chaos. There was very clearly a substantial increase in population. There was no planning being done. It was just a situation which was out of control.
And Pat just grabbed a hold of it, said, we've got to do something about this.
So far as the governor can stop it, there will never be a tuition at the University of California or the state colleges or the junior colleges of our land, believe me.
He knew that it was obligatory for California to lay down the foundations for the megastate that it was becoming.
Pat Brown set out to level the playing field in education for Californians, supporting an idea which became known as the Master Plan for Higher Education.
We have the statistics to prove that in other states where they have high tuition, some of the best students just don't go on to college. But the young man or the young woman that finishes state college or a university over a period of 10 years doubles the income of the person that drops out in high school.
From a film from the upcoming, or for the upcoming, San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, that is Pat Brown, and the film is called California State of Mind, a fascinating film for anyone who's interested in California political history or history in general.
Yeah, and because it was made by his granddaughter, Sasha Rice, you know, she has access to the family archives, and she did amazing interviews with all the family members that I think a stranger wouldn't have been able to do as well. So it's really great, and we're looking forward to having her here.
And I think as a historical document, Wendy, you know, it doesn't matter what political persuasion you are from. I mean, it's a fascinating document on the history of California.
Absolutely. Yep.
And let's talk about another film that's maybe another spectrum or another way of looking at California. This is called the San Ynez River Wilderness. And just watching some of this, we can play a little clip, but I think we're hurting our listeners in the fact that you need to see the gorgeous cinematography of California and the natural beauty of it in this film.
It really is. And it really is focusing on our area, you know, what we call homes. The San Ynez River Valley is just south of here, but it's familiar territory to all of us. And when you look at it the way this documentary does, you really look at it with new eyes and really appreciate what, you know, where we live and how gorgeous it is. So, well, beautiful film by Michael Love, I should say, from Santa Barbara.
Oh, it is beautiful. And again, we're going to play a little bit of this. I highly recommend coming you see this film just for the stunning, shimmering cinematography. Here is a clip. It's the opening of the film Santa Ynez River Wilderness.
Every place on Earth is a dance in motion. This is a portrait, a love letter, and a natural history of the Upper Santa Ynez River in the Los Padres National Forest. A celebration of its natural beauty and biodiversity as the seasons change. A window into its history from the geological forces that transformed this land that once was a seabed into mountains and valleys, to the arrival and settlements of the first Native Americans, and on to its contemporary incarnation as a recreation area. It is a place that has been called many names, but today it is often aptly referred to as paradise.
That is audio from a film, Santa Ynez River Wilderness, playing at this year's San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, and a great tie to our Central Coast area here, Wendy.
Absolutely. And this is a film by Michael Love, and this is, I'm talking about returning filmmakers. I think this is his third film in the festival. He and his wife are both filmmakers, and they both had films here as part of our Central Coast Filmmaker Showcase. And that's a separate competition within our festival that highlights films made in San Luis Obispo, Monterey, and Santa Barbara counties. So we show all those films on Sunday, the last day of the festival, in venues all over the county, and give local filmmakers a chance to have their films seen by, you know, big audiences on a big screen.
I want to pass along the website for the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. It's slowfilmfest.org. You can get information on the upcoming festival. And once again, it runs March 6th through the 10th.
And just to mention, we will be putting our full schedule and all full film listing up by February 14th. So it's coming. We're working madly to get everything established. And hopefully the schedule doesn't change too much after that. But the website is definitely the place to keep an eye on for any updates or schedule changes.
Well, Wendy, you know, the time is going by so quickly here on Issues and Ideas. But we have some clips of some films, but maybe we should describe the film that could be a companion piece to the wonderful documentary that was released last year, Buck. Mm-hmm. This is your horse whisperer. And we have a new film. It's called Playing with Magic. And if, or no, is that it?
Playing, yeah, with, playing magic. With Magic.
And, you know, a great turnout for the film Buck. And to describe this, it's almost like taking it to the next phase. Buck sort of showed what we did. This gets much deeper into the psychology of horse training.
Yeah, absolutely. And it focuses a lot on a brilliant doctor named Dr. Alan Hamilton, who's written a book called Zen Mind, Zen Horse. And what he's found is that horses have an amazing psychological healing ability for humans going through major trauma, cancer, post-traumatic stress disorder, things that aren't easily treated other ways. Horses are more and more commonly being used for therapy. And it's a beautiful movie. I think it's an important topic. It also features equestrian therapy, which is actually a local business that has just moved to Atascadero. They will be definitely have a presence at our screening, but they have a presence in the movie too, which is great. They work with autistic kids and various people with other issues. And yeah, we're really excited to have them. Dr. Hamilton should be here at the screening, and hopefully Monty Roberts might be here too, who's another horse whisperer, not unlike Buck Brannaman. So yeah, it's just going to be, and it's a world premiere, by the way, which is really exciting. So a film made by Wayne Ewing, and we're very proud to be able to screen it.
I was drawn into it by the fact that they were talking about these horses with this new type of training where they were looking at horses doing things that they'd never seen them do before. And just that alone, it was just fascinating to watch this in action. And again, a lot of people know the film Buck. And if you've seen that film, check out Playing with Magic at the upcoming San Luis Obispo Film Festival.
Yep.
We are going to skip to another film, which is another subject that I wouldn't even know existed, but bike racing in Rwanda. This is a film called Rising from Ashes. And again, seeing parts of it, I need to see the entire film. And we do have a great clip from this film. Describe the film for us, Wendy.
It's beautifully shot, too. I mean, like so many of these films in our festival. So you know, sometimes seeing these films on a big screen is such a treat. But we have sort of a mini theme running through the festival, and that is films, sports films made in Africa in various countries. There's also one about music, where the success and the opportunity that people in total poverty can get through being successful in a sport or music, in the case of Kinshasa Symphony. It's really inspiring and uplifting and important. And there's a team, a bicycling team in Rwanda that this movie is all about.
The narrator is Forrest Whitaker. Here is a brief clip from the film that Wendy was just describing, Rising from Ashes.
Rwanda is known as the land of a thousand hills. The hillsides are covered with endless dirt roads and footpaths that make this small African country ideal for the sport of mountain biking. A year after his first visit, Tom Ritchie rallied a handful of professional cyclists and Rwanda advocates to return to Rwanda. They would host the country's very first mountain bike race called the Wooden Bike Classic. Tom convinced his reluctant friend, Jack Boyer, to come along on the adventure.
I was intrigued a little bit, but I didn't really know anything about Rwanda. You know, I had to look on a map to see where it was. I didn't hardly know anything about the genocide, so I kind of went reluctantly.
From the motion picture Rising from Ashes that will play at this year's San Luis Obispo Film Festival. That's a clip. It sounds absolutely fascinating. And Wendy, we've got to wrap this up just a couple minutes to give us some more stuff that's happening at this year's festival.
I have about 3 more hours of stuff to talk about, though. But okay, we got 2 minutes. Well, I just want to say that that's a wonderful documentary, as well as so many other wonderful documentaries in the festival. And our festival is very documentary heavy, because that's what our audiences tend to like, and filmmakers love our audiences. We are giving our Spotlight Award this year to Leslie Iwerks, who is an amazing documentarian, and we are opening the festival with her film about industrial light and magic. We're closing the festival with her film called Citizen Hearst, and we have several really great documentaries throughout the festival. So we're really excited to highlight her work this year.
So once again, it's this year's San Luis Obispo International Film Festival. The dates, March 6th through 10. The website for information, and a lot more information coming very soon here on the schedule, slowfilmfest.org. And big thank you to Wendy Edson. You seem to be excited about this year's festival. You think the selections are pretty great.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I really love that there's something for everyone. People sometimes ask me, what's your theme this year? Well, I don't really want to have just one theme. I like to have many themes, and I think that's what we've got.
Wendy Edson, Festival Director of the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, thank you so much for this interview and for Issues and Ideas. My name is Jim Dee.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on Public Radio KCBX. In a few moments, Chrissy Hewitt and Stephen DeLuque will take us into the local art world. Now, we'll join travel correspondent Molly Blaisdell in a segment produced by Tom Wilmer.
Aloha, this is Molly Blaisdell reporting to you from the magical island of Maui. I come to you with a purpose, to share the beautiful romance that emanates from every corner of this idyllic island destination. For many, Maui is a beach lover's paradise, a place for aquatic escapades, and a getaway that shares its love for tradition, for culture, for romance. For me, Maui presents an opportunity to reconnect with a loved one and enjoy all the magic the island has to offer. Whether it's the glistening beaches or the scenic natural wonders, there's something for every couple. For those that want to escape and find their own interpretation of paradise. That's why I'm here, to reconnect with a love that I have been missing for 3 long months. Not only is Maui an amazingly sun-kissed, heart-throbbing destination, but it's full of intrigue. To set the mood, I'd like to introduce you to 3 of my favorite destinations on Maui. To help me do that is a local with a great deal of island flavor.
I am Kili E. Brown, Public Relations and Promotions Director for the Maui Visitors Bureau, and I have the incredible opportunity to represent 3 islands in the county of Maui, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. So Maui is the second largest of the Hawaiian islands, and it really is a special place. Maui is kind of the happy in between, not so busy perhaps or as exciting and energizing as the island of Oahu, not so relaxed as maybe Kauai or Molokai. For Maui itself, we actually have 81 accessible beaches. We have actually miles of shoreline is probably the most of any island in Hawaii. We have the unique honor of being repeatedly named as best island in the world by various consumer magazines, including Condé Nast Traveler. And I think we're up to 18 times now by Condé Nast as the best island in the world. We have more swimmable beach than any other Hawaiian island. We also have the largest dormant volcano in the world, our beloved Haleakala, or the House of the Sun. As I mentioned before, I have the opportunity to represent 3 islands, Maui, Molokai, Lanai, and we call that prehistoric Maui, and we call her Maui Nui or Big Maui. There were actually volcanic eruptions that broke up the island of Maui Nui into those 3 separate islands. We have some fantastic resorts on our west coast in Kapalua, Napili, and Ka'anapali. And then, of course, our south shore boasts the resorts of Wailea as well as Makena. And then we have our lovely little town of Hana on the east side of our island, which is such a throwback in time. It's a great place to visit. So much to do as far as activities. You know, we have such a small population, 140,000. But yet we offer, you know, much of what some major cities do. I mean, we have exquisite cuisine. And you can do any activity imaginable, from land to sea, from whale watching tours to snorkeling, surfing, scuba diving, traditional Hawaiian outrigger canoe paddling. And then, of course, on land, you can go hiking just about anywhere, see some of the most remote and beautiful waterfalls anywhere in the world. There's a lot of biking. Golf is incredible here for those golfers out there. Tennis is pretty popular. There's just really so much to do.
As many of you know, Maui is made up of many regions. One of my favorites, and sometimes the best way to start a vacation on Maui, is the luxurious beaches of Wailea, which are on the southern part of Maui. Now we're headed to my favorite part of the island, and somewhere I've never visited before this one trip, the road to Hana. May I welcome back my good friend Pueo.
The song I just sang is called Noka Pueo Kahi. If you go into Hana, you can't help but pass the bay called Hana Bay. The traditional name of that area is Ka Pueo Kahi. The song was written in the 1800s when it was commonplace for the large ships, the schooners that sailed between the islands, would land at Hana Bay carrying goods from all over the other islands. Mentioned in this song, of course, is Kikaya Umamala. And it speaks of 2 sweethearts who met on the boat called Ka Pueo Kahi, sailed from Honolulu or Kaya'umamala to Ka Pueo Kahi, which is Hana Bay. They met upon the wharf there. The words say, "For the Pueo Kahi, or the ship named Pueo Kahi, goes my affections. It's like a seagull that glides across the ocean. The Hawaiian flag flies proudly upon the ocean there, as it sets sail from Kikaya'umamala, which is now called Honolulu. It says, "Take care of this love that I leave with you, because I'll be coming back for it." The refrain is told for the beauty of Kapuiokahi, which is the ship as well as the bay in Hana.
So now as we head down the road to Hana, as Pueo has so well paved the path, we're going to have Kali'i Brown from the Maui Visitors Bureau tell us a little bit about this particular region in Maui.
Hana is truly old Hawaii, and we locals call it Heavenly Hana. And in fact, that's the place many from across the state of Hawaii actually go to escape from our everyday world, along with our visitors who come to our island. It's at the eastern end of Maui, and it's considered probably the last unspoiled Hawaiian frontier for our island. It's a soulful respite from the stresses of modern-day life. And you know, one of the best things about going to Hana is the drive. You know, visitors cross 54 bridges and wind around 600 curves to reach this lush rural outpost. And along the way, there is so much to see, from waterfalls to picnic spots, breathtaking vistas of remote peninsulas and valleys where taro or kalo farmers still maintain their traditional ways to make our Hawaiian staple of poi. There is, once you get to Hana, you know, there's really just not much to do, yet much to do. You know, you get there and there's such a raw beauty. There is the Kipahulu section of Haleakala National Park, and this is the site of the famous pools of Ohe'o, where waterfalls spilled into tiered pools leading to the sea, and rangers are on hand with the park service to conduct nature walks, advise about the many hiking trails through the bamboo forests, and those of course pass roaring cascades into the green heart of the island of Maui. You know, in Hana Town, the pastures roll right up to the main street. The social centers happen to be the baseball field, where, you know, every Friday night there's something going on, and two churches where on Sunday mornings the hymns ring out in the old Hawaiian language, and visitors are again greeted with fresh flower lei. In the town of Hana, there is Trevasa Hana, and that has long been considered one of the most remarkable resorts in Hawaii. Your listeners probably know it better as the Hotel Hana Maui, but since Trevasa has taken over, I think it's now even better. No TVs in the room, no internet access in the room, though you can get that in the lounge. No clocks, no radios, no nothing. But what this makes you do is totally disconnect and reconnect. And especially if you're there for romance with a loved one, certainly you can figure out much to do in that kind of situation. But even with families who are going there, you know, to reconnect with their kids, reconnect with, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, it really just is an incredible opportunity for family time.
I'm Molly Blaisdell, your host, reporting from the beautiful island of Maui. If you would like more information about Maui, please visit mauivb.com. If you'd like to hear more of my stories, please go to herjourneyto50.com. Thank you. Mahalo.
The full-length, in-depth version of Molly Blaisdell's special Discovering Romance on the Island of Maui is featured this week on National Public Radio's podcast site. If you'd like to listen to it, log on to npr.org, click on Podcasts, and then keyword search Audio Log.
That segment from correspondent Molly Blaisdell was produced by Tom Wilmer for this edition of Issues and Ideas on Public Radio KCBX. where support comes from Natural Foods Co-op of San Luis Obispo, serving San Luis Obispo County for the last 32 years, offering local and organic produce as well as pasture-raised meats. Complete information at 544-7928. Coming up later this afternoon on KCBX, it's all the day's business, economic, and financial news on Marketplace at 4 o'clock, and then All Things Considered from NPR at 4:30. Ears on Art is sponsored by Marshall's Jewelers, creating and selling fine jewelry since 1889. You can visit them on the corner of Higuera and Garden Streets in downtown San Luis Obispo.